Welcome to The Approach Shot, the golf show that's more laughs than links, more stories than strokes, more guffaws than golfers. Here are the hosts of The Approach Shot, John Ashton and Neil Michaels.
Hey, it is time for us. I know you've been waiting with bated breath, so unbait the breath, and here we are, The Approach Shot. I'm John Ashton.
I'm Neil Michaels, and when I was younger and I heard my parents use that expression, bated breath, I literally thought that meant you had worms in your mouth.
Exactly what was triggered in my head.
From baiting? Yes. You totally get it. I don't have to explain my stupid joke. And it's not a joke. I literally thought, is that what they mean by that? Like you're baiting your, why would you do that? Stuff we grew up with.
Yes. Some of the confusion of language is ridiculous. One thing that always confused me, you know, if you send something by car or truck, it's called a shipment.
Yeah.
But if you send it by ship, it's called cargo.
Yeah. Never understood.
I mean, come on,
either.
Man.
Why do we park on a driveway and drive on a parkway?
Right. And the other thing I want to know is in the word scent, as in smell.
Yeah.
Is it the S or the C that is silent?
It would appear to be the C.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's
we got scent. Sent away with an S. We got sent as penny with a C. I don't know. When you use them both, which one don't you pronounce?
I'm a big fan of George Carlin, and he used to pick on the English language a lot.
Oh, man, he was a master at that.
Brilliant.
Yes.
And I tend to think that Webster just got bored. He got through, 75% of it and was like, all right, we need a word for an aroma thing. Let's call it scent. No, we already have that one. Yeah, but if we add a C, ooh, that's a good idea. You couldn't come up with something else. There is no other combination of letters that could make a word. I like to, with my grandson and with my kids when they were growing up, create words that didn't exist and use them. I heard you the other day say something like the oneth.
Yes.
The month. The I do that because it is one T-H. That's not first.
No.
It should be oneth.
Yeah, like all the other days.
Right. The third, 3RD, the fourth. Why isn't it the fifth? Why is it fifth? Why isn't it fifth? It's sixth, six, seven, eight, nine. It's sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth. Why isn't it fifth?
Because when people say fifth, they go, that sounds ridiculous.
Sounds like a drum corps. I don't know. I listen to Carlin, and there's so many things that go through my head, and I used to write an article for the paper in college, and I literally called it Webster Was Drunk.
Yes. Well, we can always revisit Carlin and his seven words if you'd like to.
No, I think probably this podcast we can get away with maybe two of them, and we probably shouldn't.
That would be pushing it.
Yes,
hey, listen, the thing that was great
is
that the Masters has happened.
Oh, yes.
And that is the official ta-da curtain is up on the golf season for everybody everywhere.
Totally agree. And fortunately, the weatherman agrees. Most of the country is experiencing really nice weather. It's time to get out. It's time to stop thinking about winter and get out there and play golf. And the Masters was fun.
I'm going to ask him to do me a favor, though, to stop putting Xander Schauffele and Scottie Scheffler in the same grouping.
Totally agree with you there. Especially if you're the little mic windscreen that's getting the shift and I think I felt some of it in my eye as they were doing it. Well, the great part about the official start of golf season is that I have gone out and replaced some of my old clubs, as you know, because you experienced it too. We were invited by PXG to go to a fitting. Now, I've never gone to a fitting before because I've never taken my golf game that seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Just between you and me and nobody else, I was scared to death. I thought I was going to go down there. My game isn't what it used to be. I thought they were going to roll their eyes and tell me all the things I'm doing wrong. And I was not really looking that much forward to it. And I got there and they were so professional. They were so great. They said, we get people in here of all different makes and models and sizes and ages, and you just do you. And it just made me so much more comfortable because it felt like I was just playing in front of guys, just hitting the ball in front of guys.
And you are not at all alone in that feeling. That feeling kind of predominates. I've had discussions on those Weekend Golf Guys podcast with Jeff Smith, who is a very accomplished golf teacher.
Yeah.
A lot of us feel uncomfortable swinging a golf club in front of a PGA pro for the very reasons you mentioned. It's the same thing as like, we won't go to a gym until we lose some weight.
Exactly. Which is kind of the reason you go to the gym in the first place. But you're
exactly.
Right. Yeah. I don't want to go to the gym feeling cruddy because we're going to walk in there and we're going to see some tight-bodied young 20-year-olds and some muscular guys and just a guy who wants to get in better shape.
Just a story. I went to a golf tournament. I went with our buddy Frank, and he plays PXG clubs. This was before he got his PXGs. We were interviewing people on the practice tee, and Zach Johnson, the pro who knew Frank, came up and went, "Frank, how you doing? You got to try these new clubs." And he handed him a PXG 7-iron because they had just signed Mr. Johnson to a contract. You know, Frank took a few swings, was good. And then he handed it to me and I went, "No."
"No."
And he went, "Why not?" I said, "Because I am not going to swing a golf club in front of you. I am sorry. I'm not going to do it."
Right. And I'm also not going to sing in front of Mariah Carey.
Exactly.
That's not going to happen. Yeah.
And or in front of me. Please. Yeah. But, you know, they say, and you have heard them say, that PXG makes golf clubs differently, that nobody makes golf clubs the way they do. They're really not lying, because these things, when you try them, when you get up the guts to swing it in front of a PGA pro, you're going to go, "Oh, my goodness, that felt good."
John, I did not have any expectation of this. I thought I was going to go down there and I was going to use my clubs and I was going to hit, and then I was going to use the PXG Black Ops driver that they were getting us to try, and they fitted it for me, or fit it for me, I don't know which is correct, changed the height, they changed the weight, and suddenly I'm hitting the ball straighter, and I'm hitting the ball longer, and I'm thinking, what planet am I on? What magician just did this? The whole thing only took maybe 45 minutes. By the time I was done, I am not kidding you, I increased my drive, because again, the whole thing was, what does the PXG Black Ops driver do versus the driver that you're currently using?
Right.
I hit the ball 30% farther, 30% farther, and hit it straight.
Yeah.
And these guys were just sitting there like, "Yeah, is that comfortable? Are you enjoying that? How does that feel?" And I'm thinking, I want to say, "Oh my God, this is the best thing that ever happened on my golf game." But I thought maybe I wouldn't come off like an idiot like that. It was one of the best experiences I've ever had.
When I was doing my fitting, the pro that was doing it said, "You know, PXG irons have always been fantastic, better than anybody else's on the market. But we've been a little bit unable to capture the same magic with our woods." He said, "However, we did it. This is the best driver. The Black Ops drivers is the best driver, not only that we've ever made, but that is available on the market today."
And no disagreement here.
I'm not going to disagree either. And I, you know, because when you take a fitting, if you've never had one before, this was specifically for the driver. So they had me bring my driver that I'm currently using and hit some balls with it. And they took down all the numbers because they follow everything with TrackMan. They know exactly what the launch angle is, what the MOI is, what the smash factor is, and all that, so that they can figure out what you need. And with a few little tweaks in the loft, he said, "It's a 10.5 loft, but I'm going to set it for 12, and I'm going to change it to this more flexible shaft." It was lighter than my current driver, which was also fitted to me 2 years ago. At the time, it was like the best driver available. And I, too, hit it a little bit straighter. Actually, what I did is I had a really nice repeatable draw, and I hit it farther, and he told me that my swing speed increased by about 5 miles per hour.
Wow.
And then I said, "What does that translate into?" And he said, "Well, every mile per hour increase is somewhere around 3 to 5 more yards."
Wow. So that just the speed itself was 25 to 30 yards for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just because I was swinging it faster because of the way the head's designed. But I mean, it was great. And the only drawback, man, is that I'm still using my old driver because this one hasn't come yet.
Yeah. Mine showed up and I went out to the range with it. I haven't played a game with it yet, but I got to tell you, I went out there and I was able to repeat the same swing the same distance. I'm as tickled as I can possibly be with this. It's a PXG Black Ops driver. So, John, how do other people get to have the same fitting experience that we had? Because it's not just for guys who do a podcast.
No, it's not. You call PXG or go to the website and they will tell you where in your area you can go to get fitted. And the cost of a fitting is deducted from the cost of the club were you to buy it. So let me tell you what happens right now. If you were to go to pxg.com/approach, that's pxg.com/approach, set up your fitting, you will get when you decide to buy it, because I guarantee you that you're going to go, oh my God, I need this. You're going to get free shipping on all equipment.
Oh, wow, really?
At pxg.com/approach. Yeah. If you want to say, hey, this driver's so much better than what I have, let me try your irons while I'm here. You would not be called dumb to do something.
No,
like
you
that.
Would not. If you had, if you shared the same experience we did, and this was totally mind-blowing. So pxg.com/approach, set up that fitting, get the PXG Black Ops driver. You get free shipping, and I tell you, it will change your game.
It will. They say it's a game changer because it does just that. It changes your game.
Hey, that's why they call it that. How about that?
pxg.com/approach. Set up your fitting. It's really a fun thing to go through anyhow.
It's a great experience. Speaking of things that will change your life.
Yes.
Talking to an NFL great who only recently left the game and who's doing what we do might not change your life, but it will change the next 45 minutes of your life, because it's a lot of fun talking to guys who totally get it. They play golf, they played the game, and now they're also doing podcasts. Heck, he's one of us. One of us. One of us. Jonathan Stewart from the Carolina Panthers is our guest today on the Approach Shot.
And he and you will be around in just a few minutes when we come right back. Hang out. We are the Approach Shot. You know, when last we spoke, we promised you that we would be back very quickly with Jonathan Stewart. Here we are.
Look at that. Look at us.
I'm John Ashton.
Look at us fulfilling our promises. I'm Neil Michaels, and Jonathan Stewart is here. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing? How are you guys?
All right. Let's start this off with the fact that I have a huge bone to pick with you. Huge bone to pick with you, Mr. Stewart.
Oh.
Actually, not so much you as your cohorts on Believe in the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
So I'm doing the research. I'm digging deep. I want to know what makes Jonathan Stewart tick. I want to hear about him. I want to hear him himself. So I tune into just a random show, and I'm listening, and I hear that Cam Newton has re-signed with the Carolina Panthers. And I'm like, say what? He did not. And they are talking about it. Oh, it's a perfect time for him to be back on the Panthers. They fixed their offensive line issues. He's going to be the third string quarterback. It's a good chance for Bryce to really learn from somebody who's done it. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm searching the internet, man. I am looking everywhere. I can't find it. Cam's not with the... It was an April Fool's joke.
Yeah. Gotcha. We got someone. That's good. I'm glad we got someone.
Hard.
I'm glad we got someone. Man, that's interesting. When did you listen to that?
Like 3 or 4 days ago.
And so you were probably like in the car, just kind of zoning out. I don't know. Where were you when you were listening to
it? I was actually listening in the office, and I'm all set up, ready to take some notes on what you guys talk about and how you all interact and all that kind of stuff. And I was losing my mind. How is it that I haven't heard this?
I was about to say, man, we broke the news to you then, huh?
I did. Exactly. Well, to be fair, one of your co-hosts, Desmond Johnson, told me that they kind of got you with that too.
Well, yeah, a little bit. Like out the gate, we got on. He's like, hey, y'all hear about Cam? I'm like, wait, what? And then it was just a wait, what? And I looked at the screen, and then I read their faces. And it
was See, that's the thing. I listened to it. There were no faces. So I got suckered way deep.
Yeah, man. Video content is huge these days. So, yeah. You know, you can get lost in the sauce sometimes just by listening to what people say.
Well, Jonathan played his college ball at Oregon, as you can tell from the fact that he's wearing a Duck shirt. He was first team All-American twice. He was a second team All-Pac-10 in 2006 and a first team All-Pac-10 in 07. And the reason you just heard my voice crack is that I find it hysterical that you could be an All-American, but not All-Pac-10. How the hell does that happen?
I mean, I actually listened to an interview of LeBron James. He never won Defensive Player of the Year award. Mm-hmm. He's never won it. He's been second runner up. It just didn't make sense as far as how he didn't become the Defensive Player of the Year, but he was the best in all categories for Defensive Player of the Year. it was just some weird thing. But you saying that, it makes me recall that. But, you know, sometimes things don't make sense. And, you know, awards and accolades, you know, they mean a little bit, but they don't mean too much down the road. So I didn't even really catch that back in the day. So you caught that. That's the first time I've ever caught it.
Well, there you go. I told you I was going to throw some things at you. You didn't know. Here's another one. And this one blew my mind. You were the Sun Bowl MVP in 2007 when Ducks quarterback Dennis Dixon missed the game. So you went crazy and ran for 253 yards and scored a rushing touchdown and had a receiving touchdown, this without technically a starting quarterback. And oh, by the way, South Florida in that game was favored by 6.5. You guys won by 35.
Wow, they got that one all the way wrong. I wonder if anyone was betting on that game. If they were betting on that game, they got screwed.
Probably the bookies probably did too. I got one crazier for you. On that game, the Sun Bowl in 2007, one of the announcers for that game was Steve Berline, who later became the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. How about that for a circle?
Wow. Yeah, that didn't cross my radar at all.
Yeah, he was the analyst for the Sun Bowl, and he later became the starting quarterback for the Panthers. And actually, for the only time in his entire 17-year career, he was a Pro Bowler at Carolina.
Wow.
So see, we got a whole bunch of stuff for you to be able to
do. You just connected all the dots, didn't you?
Yeah, he does that, man. That's what he does. He's the dot connector personified. He's good at it. I got a question, man. You were a hot shot in high school. So where did you learn how to play football? You just a prodigy? Did you start real early or have some great coaches or what?
So I was a big WWF, WCW fan. Okay. So I was, the typical kid back in the day in the 90s, just roughhousing with an older brother, 4 years older than I am, played outside, you know, with him and his friends. So just being around older kids, we used to play football in the backyard. We grew up as a military family. My dad was Army and I was born in Fort Lewis, Washington. So Fort Lewis, Washington, you know, the base housing, you know, they have playgrounds in basically every neighborhood. The kids, you know, summertime, we would have summer Olympics where we'd like, you know, do a bike race. We do a foot race. We do all different types of like things to entertain ourselves. But we had a sports Olympics. But I just remember growing up being very involved in sports and just being active. And WWF was kind of like my natural inclination, I guess, to football. My parents got divorced when I was in fourth grade. A gentleman by James Parker, who was dating my mom at the time, introduced me to football. Growing up, my childhood wasn't necessarily the brightest with my mom and my dad. So it was an opportunity for me to really connect with, you know, a father figure and someone that actually took a liking to me and, you know, and I gravitated towards that. So he said, hey, look, you like wrestling. How about we go outside and play catch? And so we lived in these apartments in Lacey, Washington, which is where we moved after my parents got divorced. That's where I fell in love with football. Growing up, I was always aware of, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, guys of that likes. Once I actually had someone step in and give time to me in that way, where it was like, hey, it's just me and James Parker playing catch. You know, there's a bond there. There's something mm-hmm. special there. From there on, man, he's been my biggest fan. Well, actually, my mom's been my biggest fan. I just played and started playing with my friends. You know, I played sixth grade football, tackle football first year. And I was a running back, and I was a running back on offense and a DB on defense. It just kind of stuck. I was always fast. I was little. I didn't really grow until I was in eighth grade. And I actually used to cry myself to sleep at night because of it. All my friends were always taller than me, bigger than me, but I was faster than everybody. So the fast kid that's smaller than everybody doesn't necessarily get all the looks, right? It all panned out.
And you turned down some heavy offers for some awful big football schools too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I was heavily recruited, you know, after my high school career. People come to the school about every day, it seemed like. My principal got to the point to where she would arrange certain points of the day for coaches to actually meet with me. And it was around lunchtime. So if you weren't there around lunchtime, she wasn't taking me out of class. That was my vice principal, not our principal, vice principal. But it was a time to be alive. You know, you have Florida State, Tennessee, University of Oregon, obviously, UW, Notre Dame, all the schools, Oklahoma, Georgia. We had to get the caller ID from the house so that way we knew who was actually calling us. So it was interesting, man. But we definitely prayed about it, and God definitely led the way for us. And I mean, there's a story behind that, kind of how everything kind of took its turn to where I actually decided to go to Oregon. I'm leaving University of Oregon on my trip, and me and my mom are in the car driving, and she's praying. And as she says, amen, I look in my rearview mirror and I see the cross in daytime. It's daytime, but I see the cross only because there's a beam of light in my rearview mirror that just beams. I'm like, so I have to look at the mirror. Mm-hmm. I look at the mirror and there's a cross just peeking up in the sky. And I say to my mom, I'm going to the University of Oregon. And not only just that happening, you know, my prayer and our prayer throughout that time was, God, show us a sign. Mm-hmm. And literally he showed us a sign.
No kidding. Yeah.
Probably a couple of weeks later, after I've already made my decision. You know, when you always make decisions like, oh, man, did I make the right one?
Exactly. Know. Yeah.
I'm like, hopefully I didn't mess this up. Weeks later, I go through our blanket drawer, going through all our blankets, and I pull out this Batman blanket that I had. Lo and behold, there's this necklace that I got my freshman year in high school from one of my friend's moms that went to the University of Oregon for a basketball clinic for their son. Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They brought me back a gift, and it was an Oregon football necklace that I had my freshman year that I lost. Completely lost it. I'm like, dang, I can't keep up with nothing. So I lose it and I find it weeks later after I've already declared where I was going to college. Mm-hmm. And when I saw the necklace on the floor, got chills. I'm like, oh, I'm good. This is going to be good.
No
more second thoughts. And I say all that because it's a testament to my faith. God doesn't waver, and all he asks is for us to believe. I really kind of live my life to the best that I can possibly live it to really display that for others.
Yeah, I wonder why you're on the Believe Podcast Network.
Yeah.
You best believe.
Hey, I wanted to ask one more thing about the Panthers, because that's been such an interesting franchise for so long. They came right out of the gate as an expansion team and won right away, and then have been through some down times and been through some up times again. You were in the Pro Bowl in 2016, and frankly, I don't understand why you didn't make the Pro Bowl in 2009, the one year that you had over 1,000 rushing yards. As a guy who grew up not playing football and somebody who had all this success in college, when you made the Pro Bowl, did it take you to another place? Did it make you feel like, yeah, I belong here, or were you already there?
Well, so that was the year we went to the Super Bowl. The Pro Bowl was definitely it was special, you know, just knowing that, you know, I'm looked at as part of an elite group of guys that year. I mean, obviously, there's a difference between Pro Bowl and All Pro, but to be able to, you know, be suggested and recommended to be a part of that group, it was definitely special. It was a special year. know, 2015, that was one of the most special moments in my life. That whole year, the city of Charlotte, everyone just gravitated towards, you know, the Carolina Panthers. And I'm sure a lot of sports teams, you know, experienced that with their franchises. Very special moment in time. And that was one of my best seasons. I got hurt 3 games before the end of the season, and I was able to come back against the Seahawks in the playoffs. And we made our run to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that game against the Seahawks, you had over 100 yards, and it was in the playoffs. The Seahawks had a defense.
Yes, they did. That was Legion of Boom.
That was the Legion. And the fact that you had 100 yards against them in the playoffs when you needed to show up, I thought that was a really special game for you.
Yeah, thank you. It was a fantastic game. A lot of people probably don't really know this, but my injury was a broken foot. I broke it against the Atlanta Falcons 3 weeks before the end of the regular season. We were undefeated. Yeah, I broke my foot. I rehabbed every day to get it to where I was able to actually run on it in the playoffs. And I wasn't missing that the rest of the season. I know that because it was too special.
You came back from a broken foot in 3 weeks?
Yeah, basically 3.5. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so how come, Mr. Research Man, you didn't know that, huh?
Yeah, you didn't know that, researcher.
You know, the interesting thing was, I'm looking at that season, and I see that he didn't play the last 3 weeks, and I know that was your undefeated season, and I thought they probably just sat you to rest you for the playoffs, but you had a broken foot. You're right. Yeah. I did not know that. Shame on me. I guess I'll go back and do a little more.
No one would really know that because it wasn't necessarily on the injury report either.
Yeah, it see? Was.
Yeah, so.
still,
thanks for the bailout.
Let's see if we can unearth some other unknown facts about our guest, Jonathan Stewart, when we come right back. We are the Approach Shot. Hang out with us. You hung out, we hung out, we're back again. We are the Approach Shot. I'm John Ashton.
I'm Neil Michaels, and the research shame has passed. I've done enough that the research shame has passed. Hey, real quick, the draft is coming up. Who do you want the Panthers to pick with the number 33 pick?
Ah, man,
everybody's talking running back.
No, I don't think you get a running back. I mean, there's obviously some needs that need to be met. You know, I think receiver being one of them. I think depth at the offensive line, you know, as we've seen in the past, you know, teams that, you know, really make a run for it in the playoffs, they have the depth at the offensive line position. But I'm going to have to say, I mean, because we have the 33rd pick, the 39th pick. The first wave of the draft, the first 100 players drafted are going to be some dogs. I would say Xavier Neguette. Is that how you say his last name?
Uh-huh.
He seems like a guy that we have been longing for a long time. And I think he'll fall right into our lap, hopefully. and if he's there, you got to take him. And just someone that is a weapon on offense that can relieve the pressures and the duties of Bryce to really, you know, make things happen every single play. You know, just take the pressure off of Bryce. Xavier Leggett. Yep. But then Zach Frazier, you know, if he's there, you know, around that same time, I think I might want to go Zach Frazier because, you know, we have a center right now, but he is a natural guard. And we get somebody in here that is meant to play center out the gate. I think you're basically playing into, you know, the natural fit for what's coming, what's to come, right? You know, let the guys mold themselves into the natural position as they should, and let Zach Frazier come in and just be the starter and just create another Ryan Khalil.
Put you in a position where you're actually drafting two players kind of at that point. You draft a center and it allows the guy who's playing center to play guard. Now you've plugged two holes instead of one.
Exactly.
So that's a great call.
And now you got depth.
Talk about your golf game a little bit, shall we? That is one of the reasons you're here. Do you get to get out here and play these days?
Yeah. Fridays are my standing tee times.
Is that right?
I'm trying to work that in. My wife is very gracious when it comes to my golf time. So Fridays, I try to work that in the best way possible. And I love golf. Golf is life, you know, and you learn so much about yourself. You learn so much about the people you're playing with.
Oh, yeah.
And golf really kind of just teaches you a lot of lessons, you know, and it's just you and the course. The moment that you make it anything else, that's when you start making some bad shots. And so I really have improved my golf game since I retired. You know, I have to say that I started playing golf when I got drafted and I got some new Nike clubs for free. And that was my introduction to actually like golfing. And then Jimmy Clausen got drafted here. Jimmy was a golfer. So I would go with him after off-season workouts and we'd go to the range. We'd go play a couple rounds on some, you know, public courses and stuff like that. So it's become my like love for real, for real. I love golf. I love everything about it.
And you were in golf Mecca, basically. I mean, Wake Forest has always been like one of the top schools for turning out golfers.
Oh, really? And, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, Arnie went to Wake Forest, I believe. Mm, okay. And, but you've got Pinehurst. And yep, I don't know if you've ever played Tobacco Road.
I haven't played Tobacco Road yet.
Oh, man, that is such a great golf course. You've got to try that one.
I got
to
try
Stanford,
it, huh?
I think, or Sanford? Sanford, North Carolina. Yeah.
Okay.
Tobacco Road.
Well, and, I have to get out there for that.
Yeah. And you're also close enough. You can, you know, just put up a little cardboard sign and hitchhike your way down to Myrtle Beach and play
some golf. That's what I was going to say. You got to get down to Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, I haven't played Myrtle Beach. I played Kiowa. I played in Charleston. And I'm a member here at Carmel Country Club. Has two courses. So I get two opportunities to make a tee time.
You have a regular partner?
Yeah, a buddy of mine that brought my brother-in-law, actually. So he was one of my best friends. And then he married my wife's sister. They met the Super Bowl year. It's just kind of one of those things where it's like, yeah, this works out really well. Like, my brother-in-law is actually my friend. So not a lot of people can say that.
That's true.
I've got the same situation, man. My brother-in-law is a guy I play golf with all the time.
Yeah.
And he keeps trying to beat me and he can't, but that's okay.
Yeah. It's very competitive because Lamar, so my brother-in-law, he's actually better than me, but because I'm playing more, I just have more reps on him.
Yeah.
So like, at this point in the phase that we're in.
That's the secret to it, man.
It's just got to play more.
Yeah.
Play often. You got to swing often.
Yep.
So we have our battles and it's been fun. You know, my first time actually playing golf was senior skip day in high school. And you want to know my first introduction to golf was actually selling golf balls on a golf course.
Wow.
So going back to fourth grade, me and one of my best friends, Andy Metcalf, his family lived in a golf community and we used to go and collect golf balls and put them in egg cartons.
Mm-hmm.
And we go sit on the bench and wait for golfers to come by and we'd be like, hey, you want to buy some golf balls? And the crazy thing is we valued the ones that we recognized. And guess which ones we recognized? Nike. Yes. So we were like, Nike golf balls. They got to be at least worth $2. And then the whatever this Titleist thing is, we'll give those away for 25 cents. Had no clue. But yeah, so like it's really interesting kind of how sport of golf has transformed in my life and the way it has. And no, it's a privilege and honor anytime anyone gets to go out there and play golf, I think.
Yeah. It's a way to keep the competitive juices flowing now that you're retired.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta stay competitive. Yeah. And that's one of the cool things. Like, it's first, you got to play the course and you just play the course until around the 16th hole and you check to see where everybody's at. And that's where you start talking junk. And then usually once you start talking junk, that's when you screw up your score. So
yeah.
John and I have talked to people who play golf before who are believers like you are. Mm-hmm. And I have decided I'm not playing with a believer anymore because you guys get better bounces than we do.
Well, you know, the eye in the sky never lies. So, you know, if you're living right, sometimes it goes the right way on the course, that's for sure.
So that's why you won't play with me, the preacher's kid, huh?
No, not playing with you, the preacher's kid, not playing with anybody who goes to church way more than I do, because I know on those water holes, mine's going in and yours is skipping over.
So how long have you guys been playing golf?
Oh,
I've been playing since I was about in fifth grade or so. I've never had a lesson. And my game about 5 years ago just fell apart because I hadn't played very often. And I just felt weird about getting back, and was I showing up, and was I going to embarrass myself, and all the negative things that you can't tell yourself and succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been great actually doing the podcast with John for 3 years, because he keeps reminding me, think the right things, be comfortable, have fun. And when you do that, it's going to be a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played with my dad when I was really young, now and again. He wasn't very good, nor did he play very often. But whenever he went out, he took me with him to tell you how serious he was using his father's hickory shafted clubs.
Mm.
Okay. That's how long ago this was. Wow. But in 1980, I got a morning gig on a radio in Charleston, South Carolina. The head of the Charleston City Golf Courses was a fan of the radio station. And he heard me say something about golf, and he called me up and he said, John, you play golf, come on out anytime you want to. So I got off the air at 10 o'clock in the morning, throw the clubs in the back of the car. And if it wasn't one of those 102 degree, 98% humidity Charleston days, I'd go play golf. So I played like four or five times a week. And after a couple of years of playing four or five times a week, I got kind of good.
Okay. Yeah. What's your handicap, or what's the lowest your hand? Okay.
8.8, I've been told.
Oh, nice.
By the app. But I've got one of those apps. I hate the app, because you finish the round and you go to save it and it comes up and it says, are you sure you want to save this?
Are you sure that this is the right score? Are you pulling my leg?
My
you
handicap
shot
is
this?
My handicap is my irons. So
yeah. I hear you.
Jonathan, it has been great talking to you about football and golf and stuff, but we have to do something that's a little less fun with you. Oh, well, it's a lot of fun for us, less fun for you.
Okay.
And that is the world famous six-pack.
Six-pack of beer?
No, it's a different kind of six-pack, and we'll tell you more about it when we come back.
And we're coming right back with Jonathan Stewart right here on The Approach Shot. And we are back. We are The Approach Shot. I am John Ashton.
I'm Neil Michaels. And yes, it's a six pack for Jonathan Stewart. But sadly for you, no, it is has nothing to do with any kind of beverage.
Ah, man.
Six pack is six questions that we fire off at you. Bang, bang, bang. And we want you to give us the first answer that comes to mind, so that it's spontaneous. You don't get to think about it. There's no, let me think. And you can't do that.
You might get some blah, blah, blah.
You would not be the first. We actually had a famous actor sweat on question four. I'll never forget that. He just was like, like he was trying to think of an answer real quick. And I was like, we're not really trying to give you a heart attack. It's fine.
Yeah. Right.
And you're going to love some of these. So question one, you ready?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Question one. Here we go again, me knowing too much about you. Your middle name is Creon.
It's Sirion.
Say it again.
Sirion.
Sirion. It's spelled C-R-E-O-N. Sirion.
Yep.
Which in Latin, John, means Lord, Master, or Ruler.
Yeah, that's fitting and proper.
I think so. Your wife, Natalie, and you are co-owners of the stunning four-color magazine, Charlotte Lately, and are the co-host of the TV show Lately, which airs in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord and Master Ruler, who's really the Lord, Master, and Ruler at the Stewart House?
Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
He bailed on that question.
Put him on the spot. He gives you some testimony. Okay, fine.
that wasn't an answer. That was a church sermon.
That was quick. That was quick on my feet right there. But obviously, it goes Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and then my wife, and then my kids, and then there I am.
And there you are with Lord, Master, and Ruler in your name, and you can't even be ahead of your kids.
Right. Sometimes you have to, the leader must also trail behind to make sure nothing is left behind.
That's right.
That was the best answer I think I've ever heard. I'm not worried about you being spontaneous at all. All right. Question two, fill in the blank. The worst part of my golf game is blank.
My driver.
Big bad NFL player gets up there. People think he's going to hit it 280 off the tee. Doesn't happen, huh?
No, it goes. It goes about, when I hit it, it goes 340, 320, 340. My problem is that I pull it a lot.
You're right-handed?
I am right-handed.
Okay.
So if you guys got any advice, I would love it. I'll take it and I would eat it up on how not to pull your golf swing.
Go ahead, John.
How far forward do you have the ball?
How far forward?
In your stance, yeah.
Try to keep it on my heel.
Okay. You might want to move it back just a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And make sure that when you set up, that the driver face is perpendicular to the target.
Yeah.
And just keep it that way. Because what happens,
so just put it back in my stance.
Yeah, when you pull it, the face is not perpendicular to the target, and it's skewed a little bit. It's closed, mm-hmm. and it's pulling the ball to the left.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, thank
Free
you.
Lesson.
Free lessons.
Free lesson. Yeah.
I'll be back next
if
week.
If it doesn't work, you got it from Neil.
Yeah. If it doesn't work, I'm going to be cussing your name.
Right. That's That's John. Just reminding you, that's John. Question three, who do you think is the greatest Carolina Panther in the franchise's history?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Not the most popular. That would be Cam. But who do you think is the greatest?
I'd have to say the greatest Panther in all-time history. I'm going Steve Smith.
There you go.
And the reason why I paused there is because you have Julius Peppers, who just got inducted to the Hall of Fame this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Sam Mills, who was inducted as well. But, you know, Steve Smith embodies what it actually means to be a Carolina Panther, to be a football player. I mean, all of these guys do, right? But just something about Steve Smith and his stature and how he carried himself throughout the league and his growth as a player, his growth as a person. I just love him. So I just, you know, he's just one of the all-time greats for me, and he should be in the Hall of Fame by now.
Yeah, agreed. And a shout out to Luke Kuechly too.
Yeah.
All right, question four. Here we go. The approach shot magical golf cart has pulled up. There's a spot for you in it and three other people. Now you can invite anyone from any time in history. These can be people you know or people you wish you knew. Who's joining you in your foursome?
Man. Oh, you really threw that one.
Pick me. I'll help you hit it straight.
I'm going to have to go with Tiger Woods.
Okay.
Samuel Jackson.
Ooh.
And Denzel Washington.
Ooh. Wow. That's a group I want to be like a fly on the wall.
Yeah, and basically just more so for the conversations that you get to have with guys like that on the golf course.
Seems
like
it'd be interesting. It'd be phenomenal, man.
Imagine 4 hours with them.
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. All right, question five. Which gives you the most joy? Football, podcasting, or your music?
Music. Music hasn't, I haven't been able to produce any music in a couple of years. Once we had kids and stuff like that, it's kind of, you know, priorities kind of take over a little bit, but eventually I'll get back to it.
I got
to
tell you, one of the things that I find incredible about athletes who then do music, guys like Bernie Williams, if you haven't heard Bernie Williams stuff, his jazz licks, he's one of the all-time greats and he's way underappreciated for that.
Yeah.
But I think the guys who played because of the fact that you've learned discipline and that you have goal-oriented lives, I think that when you get into music, you bring that stuff into the music part of it, and you finally get a chance to let go of the creative side. I'm amazed by how many athletes, when they take it seriously, really are incredible musicians.
Yeah, man. It's something about that left side or right side. I don't know what side of the brain it is, but
the side you didn't get hit in so much.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's the side that you protected somehow. I love, creating things. Post-career, I've gotten into real estate with my business partners in the commercial real estate space. And basically because I love, looking at things that are basically a blank canvas and put together a structure, and you basically have this vision that no one else has, and you work to bring it all to fruition. And it's the same kind of thing when it comes to music. You start with a blank canvas and you put together art, you put together different, sounds to create something that can actually, touch other people in a special way. And so I really enjoy music.
Fantastic. All right. And question six, and we ask this of everybody who comes on the show, since we are the approach shot, Jonathan Stewart, in your approach to life, what one rule do you live by?
Just be. Just be is exactly what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you gotta slow down and just be. I'm Jonathan Stewart, and sometimes you just gotta slow down and just be who you are. Just be where you are, be where your feet are, just be. It allows everyone around you to just be. My personality is, if it's not something that I can do physically about a situation, then I have to take my hands off. A lot of situations, a lot of things that we encounter in life, we stress and we are so anxious to try to fix things that we can't, because it's a lot of things that we're all stressed out about is out of our control. Yeah. So just be. Sometimes just sit down and do nothing and just be.
Nike is listening and they thought, wait, we had something like that. Just no, it was different.
Yeah, see, they're more action forward.
Hey, you're off the hot seat. You did a pretty good job on that six pack, my friend. Hey. Well done. Oh,
thanks, man. Yeah, sure. I didn't stutter. I didn't sweat. No,
and you taught me how to say your middle name, which clearly the way it looks seemed like it was easy.
Yeah, gotcha.
One more thing about the Panthers, because when he was just hitting the league, I thought Jadeveon Clowney was going to be the next J.J. Watt. I thought he was going to change defense. I thought he was going to be Micah Parsons. He's been sort of up and down. He's had some really good years, and then he's had some years where it's like, where is this guy? He's now a Panther. How do you feel about him maybe being the anchor in the defense?
I love it. Obviously, we still need, somebody on the other side. For it to all come to fruition and just really be complete. But I love the additions that we've made this offseason, getting somebody next to Derek Brown. We have three solidified spots there, up front on defense, which really helps Jadeveon. Like, I look at his career, and yeah, he bounced around a lot and he's had to go through some injuries and some uncertainties as far as what kind of player he is. But I think last year in Baltimore, the situation they had was a great one, but he stood out. Mm-hmm. He's efficient in the run game, which is like not a lot of pass rushers off the edge can do both. Mm-hmm. And he can do both. And that's what's important for this Carolina Panther defense coming up next year, is being able to stop the run and being able to do it whenever it counts. And so some teams are going to come in with a high potent running game and break two. But when it counts, you got to be able to stop them. Yeah. And I feel like he gives us a great an great advantage, you know, especially with the departure of Brian Burns. We need someone that can come in and make that happen.
Hey, where can people hear the Believe in Carolina Panthers podcast?
So you can hear the Believe in Carolina Panthers podcast on all platforms such as iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, wherever there is podcasts, we are there. And so check us out. Me, Desmond Johnson, Skylar Callahan. We are the Positive Pete of Panthers podcast.
I love alliteration.
I was going to say, that's pretty awesome. And you didn't pop your P in the microphone like we were told not to pop your P.
But anyways, but check me out there and just kind of, you know, follow me around on my socials, Jonathan Stewart without the T at the end, and just replace that with a one. Follow me on my social platforms as I'm getting more involved into the broadcasting space, which, you know, is one of the things I'm really starting to enjoy. I'm enjoying talking about football, I'm enjoying talking about my stories and my past and getting better at it. So thank you guys for having me.
Welcome. And listen, if you go do a search on social media for Jonathan Stewart and you get some white comedian, this is not the guy we're talking to. Yeah. Okay.
Not the Daily Show.
Not the same guy. Hey, did I just see that you're doing a 2024 boot camp for NFL announcers?
I went to the broadcasting boot camp that NFL puts on every year. So they select about 20 or so guys to come and be a part of that, out of guys that have filled out forms and sent them in. And, you know, basically they choose guys to come and be a part of that might have a chance. So it was a really cool experience to be able to be around, obviously, good football minds. But most importantly, the experience to take part in getting coached up in the broadcasting, whether it was play-by-play radio, play-by-play video, the studio work that they do on TV shows, all of the, like, the podcasting, and being able to get instant feedback about what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong.
Awesome. Jonathan Stewart, it's been a pleasure to have you here today. And we absolutely love the stories about your golf game. We appreciate the knowledge. And it's been great having you here on The Approach Show.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure, man. We will be right back. Hang out with us. And we've got some time yet together here on The Approach Shot. I'm John Ashton.
I'm Neil Michaels. I have no additional research. I knew his wife's name. I knew that he had a magazine. I knew he had a TV show. I knew about his Sun Bowl. I knew Steve Berline was the announcer. I'm exhausted. Beauty is we get to do this again next week.
Yeah, go on out and get that Black Ops driver and actually play with it. Okay.
I actually have the Black Ops driver. For those people who aren't golf nuts like you and I, I actually have taken it into my front yard and just taken swings in my front yard.
But that's just because you want to show off and let your neighbors know you've got a PXG club.
Maybe a little bit, yeah. Actually, if I was to do that, I should go to my brother-in-law, who is the doctor, who's a 6 or 7 handicap, and he plays all over the place. He actually described a course that he suggested to me as being wide open and very forgiving. And I played it and I was like, this is neither. It was pretty wide open, especially the way I played. I got my money's worth, left side, right side, woods, everything.
They call that military golf.
Forgiving at all. And so I told him that and he was like, oh, okay. Well, you know, everybody plays differently, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, shut up.
Hey, learned a new way to keep score, man. Always pit the number of balls you have lost against the number of balls you have found.
Ooh.
So if you lose 2 balls during the round, but you found 3, you're 1 under.
You're plus, yeah, you're 1 under. I like 1 that.
1 under for the round.
Who loses 2 balls in a round? I lose 2 in a hole.
Well, Jonathan was talking about selling golf balls when he was a kid. We had a Sunday foursome go out last Sunday, and we were on the second hole. Every one of us lost a ball off the tee.
Huh. Okay.
We hit it I mean, it was really, it's one of those narrow things, narrow shoot type deals.
Okay.
And we hit it into the tall grass and the left and the right or whatever. And when we got to the third hole, there were two kids there that were selling golf balls. And they said, "You want to buy some balls?" I said, "Not really. No, we're pretty set. But if you go back to hole number two, you'll find at least four of them."
Oh, what would be the really funny is when you come back and play next time and they're out there and they've got your balls that they're trying they're to sell to you. Your ball back. Well, I bought the 12 pack for $18. So if you're selling them for $2 a piece, you're selling them for more than Titleist was selling them for.
Oh, yeah, and great. That is that's a rule that we want to get changed too, because if you're playing good, high quality balls, you're playing the Pro V1s or the TP5s from Titleist or the Bridgestones or whatever.
Yeah.
They're $5 a piece.
Ooh. Okay.
You know, you're paying $59 for a dozen. That's $5 a ball. So if you lose one, we figure that $5 should be enough of a penalty. We should not have to take a stroke too.
That's true. That's very true. If you lose three or four in a round, you know, you've basically lost lunch and a beer.
Yeah.
So yeah, that done. We've already been punished enough. And I do love the fact that Jonathan is a believer, and therefore he knows that there are certain holes and certain things that all he has to do is bow his head, and that ball is going to end up in a better place than it belongs. Because I know that same shot, if I hit it, would be in the water or in the woods. Yes. Not that I don't believe I do. I'm just not as active. I wanted to let you know that the website has again been updated. Not only can you go to the page that says, talk to us, mm-hmm. and write John or myself a suggestion, an email, a thought, a criticism, whatever you want to do, it's there for you to be able to abuse us if you want to, or compliment us if you'd like. There's also an opportunity to buy a gorgeous Approach Shot golf shirt, mm-hmm. which now that it's the time of year to wear them, please do. And you can also get yourself a nice Approach Shot mug. Go to approachshot.net, not theapproachshot.net. Why, John? Yeah.
Screwed that up. We let someone steal the.
Someone stole our the.
When we find them, they're going to pay.
Why I oughta. Since we're doing cartoon voices anyway.
I'm going to myrtleize you.
That's going back.
Yeah.
Love it. Speaking of going back, please do. We have 120 something episodes now. Please go back and take a listen to some of the ones that we've had. I actually went back this past week and listened to the Wells Adams show again because I thought he was great. Mm-hmm. And if you're a Bachelor fan, that's a good one for you. We also had Tony Jacklin on. We've also had other golfers. Max Homa finished third at the Masters, tied for third. Was it tied for third? Yeah, tied for third in the Masters. Yeah. We had Max on, and we had his caddy on separately. So there's some great shows. If you want to go back into our catalog and listen, we'd really appreciate it.
And a little piece of trivia. If you ever decide you want to be a PGA pro, the PGA Tour pro,
okay.
Tiger Woods had a bad Sunday and he finished 60th out of 60.
Yikes.
His check is only going to be $39,800 for the week.
For finishing in last place.
Last place.
Basically. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Boy, we picked the wrong career, didn't we?
I tend to look down at about number 20 and see what the money is. And when you look down and you see the guy who finished 20th made $241,000, I'm like, can we be the 20th best podcast and make that money?
We know. My brother-in-law and I have thought about or have talked about, because we're way too old past the ability to get on the tour. But if you were to get on the PGA Tour, play well enough to maintain your card, which means you finish in the top 125 of the money list,
right?
You don't ever have to win in order to have a very, very healthy income.
Yeah.
Finish in the top 20, 25, 30, and you're making, you know, you're making six, almost seven figures a week.
Or you could be Jeff Smith, one of the country's top 100 golf instructors, and have a really, really good life and make a good living doing that and being on those weekend golf guys with you.
Which is the high point of his week, by the way.
That's I'm sure that's what he tells you. Yes. So basically what we're telling you is Forget crime. Golf pays.
Yeah, exactly.
That should be a bumper sticker.
And we can prove it to you again next week right here on The Approach Shot.
You've been listening to The Approach Shot with the Weekend Golf Guys. If you like this week's episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your podcasts. And find us on the web at approachshot.net.